steady. And outside our studios on Friends Plaza, it's 41 degrees.
The Oscar-nominated Zero Dark Thirty opens with a declaration that the story is based on firsthand accounts of actual events. But Senators Dianne Feinstein and John McCain say the film got it seriously wrong when it showed suspects giving up information under torture. I'm Neil Conan, Zero Dark Thirty, Osama bin Laden, and the new debate on torture. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons at 1 on AM 580.
And you're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen, sitting in for Chris Berube today. There has been so much poetry written on the subject of love, it would be almost impossible to catalog all of it. Well, for Valentine's Day, the Poetry Foundation has made a list of 100 of their favorite love poems of all time. It's available at poetryfoundation.org/lovepoems. And the list includes lovesick stories, some funny limericks, and of course, sonnets about unrequited love. Illinois Public Media's Chris Berube interviewed Catherine Halley about the list. She's the editor of the Poetry Foundation website, poetryfoundation.org, and she says it's not a complete list of great love poems, but it's a good place to start.
It's a quirky list because we have editors who like particular poems. I think it's supposed to be useful more than anything else. If you have forgotten to get your lover a Valentine's Day card or flowers, you can come here quickly and say, well, you know, my feelings about this person are classic, or I want to send something funny. So it's really supposed to be very useful and high level. And I think it's a quirky list for sure. I don't think that it's a definitive list of the best, you know, 100 love poems. But I think that's good. It's a combination of classic love poems. There's Shakespeare sonnets here, but then there's also something for folks with more contemporary taste. So there's contemporary young poets on here as well as dead poets.
So how did you end up making the list?
On that particular page, I don't know the actual – the page poetryfoundation.org/lovepoems has 75 or 100 poems there, but we have thousands of love poems on our site, which you can find by searching love poems or browsing for poems on the site. And they're in all kinds of categories, I think, you know, complicated love, vexing love, breakups, all kinds of stuff. So this is just a sampling of them.
Do you have any favorites on the list?
I do, actually. I love there's one I'm going to read, but I actually really love also the E.E. Cummings poem, Love is More Thicker Than Forget. I've read that poem at weddings before. Nobody knows what it means exactly, but they love it. It's quite popular. There's a terrific poem called Bird Understander by Craig Arnold, which is a beautiful poem. It's a little too long to read on air. A great short poem by Kay Ryan you can find here called Tenderness and Rot. You can imagine that's also a little funny. And then I really love this poem by Dorothy Alasky called Poem to an Unnameable Man.
Dorothy Alasky, she's an interesting case. She's a contemporary poet, right?
She is. My guess is that she's in her early 30s. I don't know exactly how old she is, but she's got about 3 or 4 books out now. And she's based in New York City. She lives in Queens.
What I really like about Dorothy Alasky is that she has kind of this vernacular voice, like she uses a lot of modern language and slang. It's kind of a really nice contrast to all of the older poems that are on the list.
Yeah, she's definitely somebody who uses expressions that she's gotten from the street. You'll see that in some of her other poems as well. But she also makes that reach up into the mythic register, talking about black snakes in this poem in particular. And being a giant orange ball, those things seem mythic to me.
Do you want to read the poem?
Okay. This is Poem to an Unnameable Man by Dorothy Alasky. You have changed me already. I am a fireball that is hurtling towards the sky to where you are. You can choose not to look up, but I am a giant orange ball that is throwing sparks upon your face. Oh, look at them shake upon you like a great planet that has been murdered by change. Oh, too, this is so dramatic, this shaking of my great planet that is bigger than you thought it would be. So you ran and hid under a large tree. She was graceful, I think, that tree, although soon she will wither into 10 black snakes upon your throat. And when she does, I will be wandering as I always am. A graceful lady that is part museum of the voices of the universe everyone else forgets. I will hold your voice in a little box, and when you come upon me, I won't look back at you. You will feel a hand upon your heart while I place your voice back into the heart from where it came from, and I will not cry also, although you will expect me to. I was wiser, too, than you had expected, for I knew all along you were mine.
That was really beautiful.
Sort of, but there's a lot of jealousy right in the middle of it.
I mean, don't you feel like the best love poems also have some jealousy in them? I mean, they're not just about, you know, kind of a totally happy feeling of love, right?
Yes, I think so. It's love. I think I've called love before capacious. It's so, she is so, her love for this person, this unnameable man, is so gigantic that it's destroying him. Yes, love makes us crazy.
Well, I'm reminded there's this quotation from Errol Morris, the filmmaker. He said, "People say love shouldn't make us crazy, but why not? I mean, it's the most important thing. If anything is going to make us crazy, it should probably be love, right?"
Well, you know, it should make us crazy because then you know you're affected, really. You've got to be pitched out of your normal register somehow. I think that's what love does. It's what love is doing in this poem. It's mythic, really, is what this poem is telling me about love. And I think that's why we want love to be to make us crazy, because we want to be changed somehow by it.
I actually want to go back to the E.E. Cummings poem you mentioned, and okay, I've got it up here now. So here are the first couple of lines from that poem. "Love is more thicker than forget, more thinner than recall, more seldom than a wave is wet, more frequent than to fail." That's really a lovely poem, but to be honest, I don't entirely understand what's going on in that one.
Oh, and you're going to ask me to explain it? I'm kidding.
Well, yeah, could you give it a try for us at least?
Well, because I think that, well, love, the title and the first line, "Love is more thicker than forget." It's, you know, if someone has changed you, if you've been in love, if they've affected you or touched you, you can't forget it in a way, right? It's changed you. It's made you, it's significant. It's thick, more thinner than recall. And this is so typical, right, of E.E. Cummings, that he's doing these oppositional things. It's thicker, but it's thinner. It's more seldom than a wave is wet. And of course, there's a lot going on with sound there, lots of alliteration and that kind of thing. But I think that that's what this the first part of this poem is really about, that just what we've been talking about, that whole notion that love changes you and affects you, and it's sticky. It gets in your body. It stays with you.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day to you and everybody.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Okay.
That's Catherine Halley, editor of PoetryFoundation.org. She spoke with Illinois Public Media's Chris Berube. You can find links to all of the poems that were talked about on our website, will.illinois.edu.
Next time on The World, Indian American college kids pay tribute to Bollywood.
Neil, you know what your problem is? You don't take anything seriously.
I think you're a little too serious. Loosen up.
It's more than just campy stereotypes and musical numbers. These students bring their separate Indian and American identities together in a Bollywood dance-off. That's next time on The World.
Weekday afternoons at 3 on AM 580.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 14th of February, 2013. It is St. Valentine's Day today, the day on which we celebrate love, romantic love, named for an early Christian priest, St. Valentine, martyred on February 14 in 269 AD. The legend says that Emperor Claudius II forbade single men to get married because he wanted them to enlist in his army instead. And in defiance of the emperor, Valentine, a priest, performed clandestine weddings. He was discovered, he was imprisoned, sentenced to death by beheading. While awaiting execution, he fell in love with the daughter of a prison guard who would come and visit him. And on the day of his death, February the 14th, he left a note for her, which he signed, "Love from your Valentine." That is the legend. And so today is the second most popular card-giving day of the calendar year after Christmas. Two famous lovers who wrote back and forth, Robert Browning and Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She was a semi-invalid whose father would not let her see men And so they carried out their romance by letter. Robert Browning wrote her a fan letter in January 1845. "I love your verses with all my heart, dear Miss Barrett, and this is no offhand complimentary letter that I shall write. Since the day last week when I first read your poems, I have been turning and turning again in my mind what I should be able to tell you of their effect upon me." She wrote back, "I thank you, dear Mr. Browning, from the bottom of my heart. Such a letter from such a hand." They continued writing to each other, got married secretly in 1846. He wrote her a letter before the wedding. "Words can never tell you how perfectly dear you are to me. I am all gratitude and all pride that my life has been so crowned by you." And the day after the wedding, she wrote to him, "What could be better than you lifting me from the ground and carrying me into life and the sunshine? All that I am, I owe you. If I enjoy anything now and henceforth, it is through you." And as a wedding gift, she gave him the sonnets she had written for him, including the famous one that begins, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Here's a poem for today, a sonnet by William Shakespeare, his sonnet number 109. "Oh, never say that I was false of heart, though absence seemed my flame to qualify. As easy might I from myself depart as from my soul, which in thy breast doth lie. That is my home of love. If I have ranged, like him that travels, I return again, just to the time, not with the time exchanged, so that myself bring water for my stain. Never believe, though in my nature reigned all frailties that besiege all kinds of blood, that it could so preposterously be stained to leave for nothing all thy sum of good. For nothing this wide universe I call, save thou, my rose. In it thou art my all." Shakespeare's sonnet, number 109. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile.